earlier, I was trying to get the choir not to forget a note, and now I'm trying to not forget a tune, the whole tune. So maybe a little bit of it has come back to me, but if I mess it all up, Brother John Flores will be sure to stand up and sing it the right way, okay? He'll know this song. I promise you, he'll know this particular song. He'll know it by heart, I'm sure. I like to bring a message on the enlightenment of edification. Enlightenment of edification. The other night we were watching the grandchildren, which is a joy, and we again were watching Bambi. Bambi. And in that show, I tell you, you really got to love that character, Thumper. As a matter of fact, he's my favorite. Watching Bambi, I mean, Thumper, he's the best. I mean, Thumper, he's just the best. He's always been my favorite. Well, Thumper was about to err and was corrected, you know. He was about to err, and he was corrected. And he had to say what his mother taught him, I'm sure, again and again and again and again. You could just see him, you know. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all, you know. I wish I could do it just like he did, because it's really cute. It really is cute. Well, pretty good advice, I'd say. Pretty good advice. I know my mother drove that home as best as she could through the years. I came across this funny song of Johnny Cash, forgive me for that, but it was on Sesame Street. It was an old rerun, you know, an old rerun on Sesame Street. And he was singing there with Oscar. You know who Oscar is? Oscar's a assorted character, you know, and he's the dirty puppet in the trash can. And that's where his mind is, that's where his body is, and that's where his stinky is. He's the furry-faced, grumpy old guy, you know, with a solid eyebrow, you know. That's him. So he likes this song, and this song is called Nasty Dan. Nasty Dan, sung by Johnny Cash. Now, by the way, I pointed out to the choir, this is no reflection on our very own, Brother Dan. You understand that? Now, let me see. You know, get it just right, you know. I know I'm going to blow it, but I want to do it so bad. Then that's what throws you off. You want to do it so bad, then you just mess it up, you know. Let me see if I can get it going here. At least I've got the verses. I think the chorus, I'm still kind of, I can't get it back. Here we go. You ready? Nasty Dan was the meanest man I ever knew. He'd stomp and scream and be real mean the whole day through. He'd frown a bunch, ate nails for lunch. He'd never laugh. He'd growl and yell, and I heard tell he never took a bath. Nasty Dan was a nasty man. Hard to understand that nasty man. Hey, I did all right, Brother John. You're not going to have to get up and sing anyway. Hey, here we go. Now, Nasty Dan was a nasty man the whole day long. He'd go where he could try real good to make things go wrong. He'd jump for joy when a little boy would trip and fall. And the only words that he ever said, I don't like you at all. Nasty Dan was a nasty man. Hard to understand that Nasty Dan. How you like that? That's pretty good, isn't it? We don't be a Nasty Dan. Well, something a little bit more dignified. Now, y'all be singing that tune, you know. It just kind of sticks with you a little bit. Well, I think that's the point. This is just a card. I get a number of cards, and it's already been shared with one of our dear members. But this card is a thank you a card, and it's from one of our new members. My wife and I not ever received an anniversary card from anyone other than each other. The card that our new friends and family at New Heights Baptist Church meant more to us than you could possibly imagine. Thank you very much. It was deeply appreciated. Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Everett. Nobody had ever sent a card. Well, we have a sweet lady over here to my right that she is in this ministry, and she sent that card. That is edification. That is edification. I mentioned the other day about Mrs. Betty. I didn't bring my phone. If I bring my phone, every once in a while I'll bring my phone for some reason, but sometimes I can control, you know, if I need to control the AC, I can do that from here. Let me see if I can get this thing going. This is just a little, I mentioned her love notes, you know, to me. Notes of encouragement is what I mean. This she wrote to me at 4:30 on Sunday, November the 3rd, so it's after our anniversary service. She hadn't been able to come often, just off and on. So enjoyed seeing everyone. Crippled as I am, today was a good day for arthritis. Smiley face. Good day. Yeah, good day for arthritis. I'm sure you needed a nap. All your plans and preparations of hard work, but it was all a blessing. Food was all yummy. Grateful for all your help and encouragement for Brother Chase. Praise the Lord. So thankful to be there. Hearts. Did you get that? No, if you missed it. You were down reading your Bible. I'll give it to you. All your plans and preparations are hard work, but it was all such a blessing. Food was all yummy. Grateful for all your help and encouragement for Brother Chase. Praise the Lord, she says. So thankful to be there. Hearts. Now, that's one of many. You know, not only for her, but from others as well. That is edification. You with me? That's edification. Then, this is something I walked in there the other day to the office, and this was laying on my desk. Now, I like chocolate, and I like Rice Krispies. And when you put it all together in this, it is yummy, yummy, yummy. This is edification. All right? That's edification. And there's a number of things that I could allude to. And I'm not asking you to provide chocolate candy bars, but I do like this kind if you want to, you know. The most carnal and selfish church in all of the Bible has to be the church at Corinth. Would you agree with that? Just what you know about it? So it shouldn't be any surprise that lessons of edification to others should be found there. So I'd like to start in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians and give you this passage and some other passages, and I'm just going to read down through the passages. I'm going to try my best not to stop and make too much comment because we're not going to have time. And then when I get to the end, I'd like to just bring out some observations, all right, about edification. Is that okay for tonight? All right. Okay. I told the choir, I'm running out of gas. And I kind of titled this section, after all, it's just meat, right? You know, because the meat, whether it's idols or not, after all, it's just meat. Verse 23, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man's another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not, so it's talking about unbelievers in your network, your acquaintances, any of them that believe not, bid you to a feast, invite you over for dinner, invite you over to some kind of a celebration and a feast, and ye be disposed to go, you're inclined to go and to join them for that, you know, so in other words, it's not going to be so out of bounds you'd have to reject their invitation. Whatsoever is set before you, eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. Just mind your manners and pray over it and eat. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. For that individual, you want to be careful about them for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The same saying. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Turn over to chapter 14. Chapter 14 is another great passage that deals with edification. Follow after charity, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that's not talking about gibberish, he's talking about another language, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, other languages, you can communicate the gospel more. But rather that ye prophesied, which is greater, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Even these, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For we shall speak into the air. And that would also include now speaking over people's heads. Okay? There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, it shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's instruction for all these selfish and carnal people. Seek that ye may excel, not only work at this, but excel in doing this. To what? The edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? If I pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. You're blessed, but not the others. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, going back to this idea of excelling in edification, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Jump down to verse 26. This is about worship, order in worship. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three. That would take out the supermajority of all charismatic services right there. And that, of course, let one interpret. Somebody's got to know that language. But if there be no interpreter, nobody there that knows that language, let him keep silence in the church. Keep it to yourself. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And if the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Drop down to verse 37. If any man think himself, in other words, he's kind of self-appointed. If any man think himself a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, he's under the obligation. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. As you go into Romans chapter 14, let me give you just one verse over here in Ephesians. At Ephesians 4, if you're taking notes, verse 29, Paul said there, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Good, edification's good, and it ministers grace to the hearers. Now in Romans chapter 14, look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. And it's after all, it's just meat, see. There's nothing unclean, let's say I lost my unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat. In other words, don't be lacking sensitivity. Don't be lacking concern about your brother, even perhaps a weaker brother, all right, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Don't go there. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. In other words, everybody is honored, God being first. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. In other words, don't be so dogmatic. Don't be so stuck on this. Let meat destroy the work of God. No. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And that is explained, of course, earlier in the passages. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Just two more passages, one chapter over, chapter 15, look at verse 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Somebody says, well, that's just a weaker brother. Wrong attitude. It should be, that's a weaker brother. That would be the right heart. Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's a very good description of what edification is doing good to others. Then one more passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 9 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, 10, and 11. Again, the Apostle Paul said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, because of this and what's going to happen now and what's going to happen in the future, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So he's pointing out to these good people, you're doing this, continue to do it. Don't lose sight of this. It's important that you not lose sight of this. Let me give you about 10 or 12 or 13 or 20 things, you know. I'll get Miss D and Brother Kevin out early enough. They can go up to Alaska and see the lights. I'll get you out early enough for that. And I wish I could get in her pocket and just go with them. I've always wanted to see those lights. I'm sure they're beautiful. Some of you have already seen that. That is really beautiful. Let me start with the first thing that I would say about this. Edification is serious business to the Lord. It's very serious. The Lord wants his people to be edified. And he expects his individual children to be engaged in that edification process. Edification is really important. You know, we're coming up to Christmas, and you know what show I'm going to be watching at Christmas time. It's A Wonderful Life. Is he sick? No worse, he's discouraged. Edification is serious business in the Bible, and edification should be serious business for any thoughtful Christian. Matter of fact, any Christian that's not very thoughtful, they need to learn how to be thoughtful. Edification is serious business for the Lord. Number two, people go through a wide variety of different things in life, most of which we don't know a whole lot about. Right here, there are manifold things that you in this room right now go through that would fill books every year of what you're going through. So people going through all of those wide variety of different stimulus, wide variety of different trials, testings, all that stuff, all the stuff, are easily discouraged and offended. We know sometimes we shouldn't be, but sometimes we are. Discouragement can come so easily, so easily. Number three, edification. If you're going to be enlightened, if you're going to be engaged in edification, there has to be some level of realization of its importance. In other words, it just doesn't happen. You know, it's not one of these things you just lay your Bible on your head and all of a sudden you're into edification. It doesn't work that way. You got to think about it. Edification takes some realization, and not to seek in life, not to be selfish and seek your own, but to always be on the lookout how you can be a blessing to other people, even to the loss of yourself. Even to the loss of yourself. Is that the model of Christ? Isn't that the model of Christ? Even to the loss of self. Now, I know we live in America, and Americans are so blessed. American Christians are so blessed. But American Christians can also be some of the most giving people in the world, but they also can be some of the most selfish people in the world. Edification takes some serious realization for us engaged in this wonderful ministry. Number four, good and careful effort should be made towards edification. Good and careful. In other words, we ought to stop and think about what we're doing, or stop and think about what we are saying. James says, be not many masters, for we have a greater condemnation. So it's so easy to err. It's so easy to say something you shouldn't have said, or not to say something you should have said. So good and careful effort should be made towards edification. The tongue can easily be used to edify others, not in the snacks, you know, not that, but what we say. I told you, like Miss Betty, just a little love note, just a little something, you know, nothing out of bounds, just loving, caring, nurturing, tenderness, all good stuff. But self will absolutely get in the way of edification. Selfishness will kill edification in the house of God. Edification, number five, taking notes, is presented in these various texts in both negative and positive ways. And it's both. Number six, we can do things, I mean, I would say we will do things if we're not mindful and careful, which do not edify but rather offend. Offend. Now, there's one thing to say something that is not well crafted, you know, and we say that. Okay, that's one thing. It's another thing to say something you know is going to offend and just say it anyway. You know what I'm talking about, and so do I. We can do things which offend that are not edifying. Number seven, we can say things which offend and not edify, or we can use our tongues aright. And we can strive to use our tongue in a way that's edifying. I think you can say it this way. Christians, mature Christians, and what I'm talking about is those who, you know, you won't be here Sunday night, Wednesday night, the best you can. I mean, the backbone of the church, especially the backbone. If the backbone is not right, the body's going to fall apart. I mean, it just is. We've got to work to be more skillful at edification. You got to work at it. We have some wonderful, wonderful people, well trained in various fields, but you had to work at that field. You had to work at that, and you've had years of experience in those fields, and you've become skilled at your work, at what you do. Skilled, high skilled people, right here in this room, high skilled people. Well, in the area of edification, Christians ought to work to become high level skilled in their edification. In their building up of others and building up the people of God. And it's not only individuals, but I would say especially the church of the living God. The church which the Lord has purchased with his own blood. Number nine, We cannot do things which edify. In other words, the sins of omission. Things we should say and we don't. Brother Andrews, his boss, sent me a plaque and thanking us for the use of the property for the police training and all that we went through. And I told Andrew, now of course with Sammy, of course his boss, the constable over there, and I told him, said, now make sure he understands, I don't send thank you notes for thank you notes. You know, sometimes you ladies, bless your heart, you know, but it seems like sometimes you got thank you notes and then a thank you note for the thank you note and then a thank you note for the thank you note for that thank you note. You know, it seems like it just can continue to go. It's probably better to err on the long side than on the short side. And so sometimes one of my faults, one of my many faults, is not saying how much somebody means to me because I want you to be tough. I do. I want you to be tough and I want you to do what's right simply because it's right. And I don't want to have to beg you to do it. I really don't. It's not good for you. It's not good for Christ. It's not good for the church. But it is a healthy thing and it's a right thing to express this kind of thing. It's a healthy thing. It's like Omar, our friendly neighborhood Muslim, you know. And he is friendly, by the way. And him saying to me this morning, he said, I feel good when I come here. I feel good when I come here. And I said, that's the Lord speaking to your heart, Omar. Pray that Omar becomes a Christian. I'd love it. I'd just love it if he would become a Christian. But we need to be mindful how to give our time, our talents, our treasures, and our tongues in the ministry of edification. And the better we do that, the healthier of a church we'll have. It's just the fact. Be a part of that with the church. Number 10, discernment is needed towards the role or place it should be giving in edification. In other words, it may not be your place to say something. It may be better somebody else's place to say something like that. Years ago, back in the old country, they would say, it's not your, station, or whatever, there was an old word they used. You know, it wasn't fitting that you should be that one to address. It should be sort of like, you're going to correct your boss. Well, that's probably not the best of orders, you know, at least certainly on a regular basis. That's a way to get fired. I think somebody, you know, I think it was Elon Musk the other day. I got to get some funny things come out of that. And he said, some girl says, oh, by the way, my pronouns are, you know, and yes, you know, my pronouns are this and this. And he says, well, okay, my pronouns are fine, you're fired, or something like that. You know, you go woke, you go broke. Goodbye. And that's edifying overall because it's reproving and rebuking, and that's all a part of edification. Now, but if you're not in a role or you're not in a position of insight and understanding, it probably needs to be a little bit more selective about who says certain things and who tries to correct certain things, because you might have, with the best of intentions and the best of efforts, a very skewed understanding of events. All right? I've learned this enough about leadership. I know, unless you're on the inside, you really don't know all that's going on. And so when people say, what do you think about this politically? What do you think about that? And I will tell you, I'll have a little opinion, and my son-in-laws, they all have lots of opinions. They know everything. But I'll tell you this, unless we're on the inside of the White House, we're not going to really know what's going on. They tell us what they want us to hear. And it doesn't matter which side. They tell us what they want us to hear. And I know enough about men, women, leadership, organization, and things like that, that unless you're on the inside, you're going to have a very limited understanding of what's going on. And the same is true in a wide variety of different things. So if you're in a Sunday school class or whatever, you probably don't know as much as what's going on as that Sunday school teacher knows, okay? Or if you're in management at work, you're probably going to know a little bit more about what's going on than the entry-level guy that's been there for 3 months. And so we need to be mindful of station. The station, I think, is what I was looking for. Mindful of our station and mindful of our limitation of insight in the process of seeking to be a great source of edification to people. Because all we'll do is just kind of step in it and not do so well. And certainly not be as, I don't want to say crafty, not be as skilled with our level and understanding of what is actually needed to do something and to say something, to be something of edification. I'm on number 11, I think, right? Is that right? I'm on number 30? Well, how did I get to 30? All right, number 11. I'll give you three more. I'll give you three more. Number 11. Selfish people do not give thought nor service to edification of others, but they should. In other words, there are more selfish people in this world than there are selfless people. And selfish people are lousy at edifying others. Now, selflessness is best taught when you're this big. And if it's only brought to your attention when you're this big, you're way, way behind. And here's the sad thing. You don't even know it. But you're so far behind that you were not taught when you were a little guy to share, to even share and give when you don't even have. So in other words, give your lollipop to somebody else that maybe they don't get lollipops, but every once in a great while, but you get lollipops all the time. And we teach our children how to be selfless and to edify others. No, we say, okay, they get one, where's mine? Where's mine? Well, the Christian, the discerning Christian, should say, I don't need one. Matter of fact, my doctor would rather I not even have it in the first place. Think about it like your grannies, your grandparents, your grandmothers especially. Those that, you know, have teenagers run into the Sunday afternoon meal and they grab all the chicken up and she gets up to the table and there's only one little wing left and half of it's already gone. And somebody says, Granny, you know, you need to have a piece of chicken. She said, oh, I'm not really that hungry. Now, grannies get hungry too. But grannies are some of the most selfless, edifying people on the planet. Aren't they? They just are. And they endear us to them as no other people group on the planet. The tenderness of a woman, the tenderness of a discerning grandmother. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. So selfish people do not give thought nor service to edification of others, but they should. Number 12. Many are deceived to think they know best how to edify, but they do not have the information necessary to edify. But they deceive themselves. I know what to do. I know how to handle this. And then fools rush in, you know. And not very well done. And, you know, you can say a lot with humor. I heard one of my preacher friends years ago, and he's certainly my elder. And he says, you can say about anything with a smile. So you just kind of say a big, get a good smile on your face and just let it fly, you know. But many are deceived to think they know best how to edify, but they're not very skilled at it. And others who have worked to become better skilled at edification, it's obvious, you know, who's worked at this and who hasn't. And number 13, and I'll try to end there. I'll try. Lack of edification can destroy lives. And lack of edification can destroy churches. The Bible says in this text over here, it says, to destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Don't destroy one another with a lack of discernment and a lack of edification to one another. Edification, to edify. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify, are not lawful. Edification is the act of building up or establishing something. It can be an individual or it could be a church, it could be a company, it could be a family, whatever the case may be. But it's helping others to become more Christ-like, and that's certainly selfless and edifying unto all who turn to the Lord. I wrote this down. If edification is such a great thing, why does it seem so few seem to know much of anything about it? You think that's fair? Come on, talk with me. You nod, grunt, smoke signals, something. If edification, if it is really important in the Scripture, and I think it is, why is it that so many Christians seem to know so very little about it and have poor discernment about things that would edify, you know? And I'm going to just give you an example, but this hasn't happened recently. That's my chair. Really? How about you would surrender that chair? You know, is it worth an offense? Is it, you know, worth you not being discerning and wanting to edify somebody that's visiting the church or something? You know, and that's just one illustration. I just throw it out. I mean, it's not necessarily relevant to anything that's happened in the last 7 years, probably at least. So it's just an illustration. There's a man in the Bible called Barnabas, and he's called the son of consolation. In other words, man, he was great at this. He really, really, really was great at this. And it's something that's so great, maybe we ought to all strive to be more like this, a man, a Christian leader in the New Testament. But he was known for his exhortation and his support of others. Sold his property, you know, and the gift and all to the church there that one occasion, and advocated for Paul. The other people were scared of Paul, and he advocated for Paul, and he wanted to be a source of encouragement and edify and say, hey, this is real, you know, you don't have to be worried about this man. It's all legit, you know, and he interceded for the Apostle Paul, and he was known for his gifts, his ability to minister with words of encouragement and just being there, you know, just, it's great. Even some say he started he's a responsible tradition, early Christian tradition, has him starting a church in the New Testament times. And of course, he was martyred in 61 A.D. Now, we have a number of people who fall into the category of nurturers or sons of consolation or daughters of consolation, just great at edifying. And it is such a good thing. And, you know, some people think they're not very good at it, but they are good at it. And that's almost the best kind, you know, because they're not caught up in pride. They just want to serve God and want to be a blessing to others. And they just do many little things and not necessarily all the big stuff. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be candy bar. It could just be something like, you know, I really appreciate you, and I thank God that you take the time to study Sunday school lessons and teach. I know that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort to do things like that. And you've got kids, and you've got family, and you've got business, and you got all this stuff. And it's just a little something, you know. Or the way we, you know, you shake somebody's hand could be that of edification. It could be, oh, just, okay. You know, I got to shake your hand. I'll buy, you know. If I have to, I'll shake your hand. I just want to, you know. Jerry Morrow is one of those. He always intentionally about, I want to shake your hand. I appreciate, you know. And he just always an encouragement. And it's not only Brother Jerry. Other men do the same thing and just are great sources of encouragement. Our ladies are great sources of encouragement. Just a number, just make a point. Or they bring the kiddos, the little babies to see the preacher. They know I love the babies. And they know, and listen, it's good for them. It's good for their families, by the way. It's wise to do that. But they make a special effort to build bridges and build connections of edification. And that's wise. That is very, very discerning. Very discerning. And we would be an even better church if we did even better at this thing called edification. We really would be. And preferring others to ourselves, even to the point of denying ourselves so that they can have. And it really flies against the grain of kind of who we are as a people, the natural inclinations of us as a people. But we really do. Everybody, you know, somebody says, I read this article, all these people think everybody needs a counselor, needs a therapist. I don't believe that for a minute, not a minute. But everybody does need friends. Everybody does need other people that will be a source of charging edification to them in their life. And you never know when people are going through some of the darkest valleys, because some of the darkest valleys we can't really share too much. And so we can have people who are going through really, really difficult times and really could use an extra touch. Suzanne, she's one of those, a little tenderness and touch, you know. She'd give me a good hug, and just others like that. It just, it's such a blessing. And it's not only, I'll say, our more mature ladies. Is that more mature? But it's even young ones like this over here, you know. I told Tyler this morning, I said, you are an encouragement to me. And she is. She's a nurturer. She really is a nurturer. And it just conveys, I know you, I love you in the Lord, and I want to be a blessing to you. And little things. And, you know, it's no secret that Miss Tyler has some allergy issues, and sometimes she didn't feel good at all. Not at all. But still, not feeling well will take the time to be a blessing and to be an edification. Now, a lot of us will be edifying if we feel good and everything's going well. We'll think about the things. But to think about how we can be an edification when we feel miserable, we're tired, we're sort of like that grumpy guy in the trash can, you know. Or we kind of feel a little bit like Dan, you know, in the little song. To overcome those inclinations, to overcome those desires, and say, no, I want to be an edifier. I want to edify the house of God. I want to edify and comfort my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the world, every week, beats you up. The world beats you up. And in many ways, different types of ways. But when we come to the house of God, we should be thinking about how I can edify my church, how I can edify different members in our church. And don't always, you know, target the same ones. I mean, kind of be like I don't know where she's at. Where's Melissa? She's out of town? I bet she's out one of those training things in Florida, is she? Okay. But Melissa is a great illustration. I'm going too long, but Melissa's a great illustration of that. Yeah, I just love that girl. But she moves around to so many different people. And listen, and it's not just people who could maybe advantage her in some connection in the future or just whatever. It's just so sincere. It's just pure Christian love and just wanting to be a blessing to other people. And man, I tell you, it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. And I see people like that, and I get under conviction, as I should, and think, you know, here's somebody that has less discernment but better qualities. Maybe we all should strive to have better discernment and then provide better qualities of edification to one another. Amen? Amen? I can go longer if I need to, okay? Let's stand.